This Memorial Day weekend marks the unofficial start of summer. As we look ahead to those precious weeks of vacation, many of us may suddenly realize that we lack both planning and money. With your help, we hope to address both these problems. We're looking for cheap vacations. Where have you gone that did not cost an arm and a leg? Any ideas for great places to stay that don't require approval from a loan officer? The Travel Industry Association of America tells us that the summer travel season will start off with a bang and that 330 million people are expected to defy high gas prices, overstuffed trunks, and thin wallets to hit the road before Labor Day. Well, if you've got ideas on how to have a great vacation and get home with something left in the bank, our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. And let's begin with April, who joins us from Rock Falls, Illinois.
Hi.
Hi, April.
My husband and I just got back from a great vacation in Charleston, South Carolina.
A beautiful city.
Yes, it is wonderful. And we thought what was really wonderful was that we could basically park the car and walk around and look at the history and read all these great plaques and have all this information basically for the cost of parking. So a lot of eye candy in that city. It's really neat.
Did you drive there?
We did drive. We drove, and we actually stayed in a really great hotel that we got a cheap price from an online discount distributor of hotel things. So.
And where did you stay while you were in Charleston?
We actually stayed in downtown Charleston, which was not the cheap part of the vacation.
But
it was really lovely. We didn't spend a lot of money in the city other than the cost of our hotel. So. It's great to go to historic places and be able just to walk around and absorb the city.
Pauline Frommer joins us now. She's executive editor of Arthur Frommer's Budget Travel Online. She's at our bureau in New York. And Pauline, has April gone about this the right way, do you think?
Absolutely. You can find terrific deals on hotels on the internet. However, I would have suggested, April, get the price on the internet and then call the hotel directly and ask to speak to a manager. Don't call the 800 number. Recently, I was going to Las Vegas. I found a very good price on one of the major sites for Harrah's Casino Hotel. And then I called up the hotel directly. I called the manager. They didn't know my last name was Frommer. And I got another $40 off that hotel room just by bargaining directly. I think Americans are a little nervous about bargaining, but hotels, in good times, they have an 80% occupancy rate. So most of the times, occupancy is much less. And if you call and speak to the right people, you can often get a better deal than you'd think.
Well, we'll have to use that next time. Thank you for that tip.
And sure.
Thanks for the call, April.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
Bye. And Pauline, as we look at, obviously going to look at historic locations, there's no entry fee to the city of, you know, downtown Charleston.
No, absolutely not. It's a wonderful place to go, especially now that the summer is here, because not many people go when it gets hot and sultry. So prices do dip in the summer usually, unless there's a convention in town.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Susan, who's with us from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, I was calling with a question about how do you find the old places that now that the bypasses seem to go through everywhere. For instance, we're looking from driving from Savannah, Georgia to Jekyll Island, Georgia, and we remember from 15 years ago an old barbecue place, and I can't figure out how to find it.
Oh, I know how to find it. There is a wonderful website called Roadside America, and it's run by Jane and Michael Stern. And what they do is they collect all these wonderful local places to eat, and they review them, and they accept reviews from readers. So that if there's a barbecue joint, if there's a clam shack that you think you remember, go to Roadside America, and you're probably going to find it there. It's a terrific resource.
Great. I'll look there. Thank you.
So, Susan, I assume you're just trying to avoid all the Scottish restaurants, right?
Oh, yeah. Are there Scottish restaurants there?
We call it McDonald's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We are trying to avoid them. And it's very sad how the bypasses take you out of the old parts of towns and stuff, because then that's really the only place you have left to go.
Mm-hmm. Susan, good luck.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye-bye.
There's also a wonderful site called America's Scenic Byways, which is run by the U.S. government, which tells you about how to get off the interstate, the interstate and the big highways, mm-hmm. and see these wonderful scenic byways.
Let's go talk to Akasha, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, who's in Minneapolis.
Hi, I'm a big fan of Minneapolis Public Radio, or Minnesota Public Radio member. My best friend and I, last May, which is the best time to do this in my opinion, took our car down to St. Louis, Missouri. For $90, we spent 5 days in St. Louis, Missouri, most of which was spent on gas. And we slept in grocery store parking lots, upscale grocery store parking lots. And it's a little do-it-yourself, a little odd and unconventional, but we had a blast. Honda Civics have excellent seats. You just put them back in recline. We had a cooler in the back seat and our change of clothes. And upscale grocery stores have fabulous bathrooms. So, and they run 24 hours a day. And the parking lots are super secure. We just go in at night, brush our teeth, change into our PJs. Nobody ever said a thing to us about it. And in the morning, we'd come back in, change back into our daytime clothes, and buy our groceries. So we didn't eat in restaurants with the exception of our goal, which was to go see a couple of famous paintings that they have at their university's art museum,
mm-hmm.
and to go drink beer, eat barbecued ribs, and listen to some good music.
It sounds like a great vacation, Akasha, but are you under the age of 30?
I'm actually 29.
Because some people over the age of 30 don't have the flexibility to sleep in a Civic more than one night.
You know, actually, I was hit by a car. I have two herniated discs, and I find that Civic seat is the most comfortable thing on earth, much more comfortable than my bed. It has the best lumbar support. I highly rate the Civic and the Toyota Camry. And the other thing that we spent money on down there was $14 admission to the arches. And $14 admission was fabulous, and it was interesting to spend the whole day in line and meet strangers from across the country. And then underneath the St. Louis Arch, there's this fabulous animatronic history of the Midwest. You just walk up, and the motion detector sends you, and an animatronic robot starts telling you the history of African-American soldiers during the Civil War or Indigenous American history of being moved throughout the Midwest. It's a great city to have a low-brow, low-budget, down-home vacation.
Here's another suggestion we got from email from Eric Norris, sort of along these lines. The company I work for has an office on Cannery Row in Monterey, California. He writes, last year my son and I brought sleeping bags and camped out in the office. We had an ocean view, full coffee service, even internet access, all for free. We had a great time. So,
wow.
Youth hostels.
Yeah, this really is
youth
budget travel.
Are not for youth. It's a misconception. You can be 99 and a half years old and spend $10 on housing.
And actually, youth hostels now have family rooms, so you can stay in a room for four people. And sometimes these are in really great historic places. There are lighthouses that are youth hostels. There are youth hostels that overlook great vistas, both in the U.S. and Europe. Yes, you're right. They're not only for youths anymore. And talking about going sleeping in parking lots, one of the good things that Walmart does is it allows RVs and people with pop-up tents to actually stay in their parking lots overnight for free, should local regulations allow that. So if you don't want to pay camping fees, if you've got your RV with you, you can go to a Walmart and they won't kick you out.
One last quick comment and I'll leave the air, but Seattle's Pikes Peak Youth Hostel has a great view. It's one block from the fish market. And they have an ironing board. Seattle has great nightclubs. So when you go on and go, you pack a nice little outfit. They have an ironing board. You can totally freshen up. Doesn't look like you've been camping for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for the call, Akasha. We appreciate it.
Bye.
One of the expenses she and every other traveler who hits the road this summer, Pauline Frommer, is going to encounter are increased gas prices.
Yeah.
Is this going to affect the amount of travel, do you think?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, all of the travel industry analysts don't think it will. I don't see how it can't, though. I think that there will be certain travelers who are going to be staying closer to home. I mean, there are ways to travel more efficiently, ways that we knew in the 1970s, like driving slowly. If you are going on a road trip, if you pack lightly, it'll be less strain on the car. If you use cruise control and avoid jackrabbit stops and starts, that's also more fuel efficient. And if you're not driving a honking SUV, There are actually some websites, gaspricewatch.com and gasbuddy.com. They're run by volunteers who key in the lowest gas prices in their specific neighborhoods. So before you go on the road, you could go onto one of these sites and see if they're going to be cheap gas in the area you're going to. AAA also has a site called Fuel Cost Calculator. You put in what your itinerary is, what type of car you have, what year it was made, and it will estimate for you how much you're going to spend on gas. So if you find out you're going to spend a lot on gas, you can maybe book a cheaper hotel.
Well, speaking of definitions, yes, parking in the lot of an upscale grocery store might be one approach. But how would you define budget travel today?
Well, I would define that more as backpacker travel. I think there are a lot of people with families in middle age or older travelers who want to see the world without spending $300 a night. I mean, the average traveler spends about $59 a night per hotel room. And unfortunately, a lot of the travel media is very lifestyles of the rich and famous. They celebrate these grand hotels, but it's not the hotel. That's not the destination. The destination is the destination. You're not there to stay at a hotel. You're there to see Paris. You're there to hike the Grand Canyon. You're there to see Yellowstone. You're there to see the world. So I would suggest to people to be less picky about the hotel. It's really just a place to sleep.
Here's an email question from Everett in Portland, Oregon. Which of the discount websites for travel would you recommend? And how is travel by train these days, she goes on to ask? Are there many options available?
Well, it depends on where in the country you're going. On the East Coast, there's great options for train. On the West Coast, trains are less frequent and are delayed. And, as we all know, the Amtrak is seriously underfunded.
And on the East Coast, where I do travel by train from time to time, it's certainly not cheap.
No, it's not cheap. And interestingly enough, there's a new airline that just arrived last week called Independence Air. It goes in and out of Washington, D.C., and it's going to be cheaper now to fly that airline from many gateways than to take the train to Washington. But back to the question about what is the best website. There is no best website. I like the bot search engines. These are engines which search all the other websites. They don't sell travel. They make money if you book with one of the websites and they get a kickback from that website. There's a site called sidestep.com. It needs to be downloaded, and it searches Orbitz. It searches United Airlines, American Airlines, Southwest, JetBlue, and brings you back the least expensive price for your routing in order of cost. And because it's such a time saver, it can be very helpful.
And most people then would need to go and get some kind of a rental car.
Sure. And rentals can be expensive, especially if you're renting at an airport. If you're going into Texas, you could spend an extra $20 to $30 simply on the tax that you pay in the airport. So you want to make sure that you're getting all the costs before you rent. And often it's cheaper to rent off airport if you can. There are companies that will send a van to pick you up.
Here's an email we got from Aaron Johnson in Oakland, California. I've recently returned from a trip to Vancouver, Canada that turned out to be much cheaper than we expected. Not only is the area beautiful and filled with fun things to do, but the exchange rate with the Canadian dollar makes shopping, eating out, and transportation very affordable. We need more of your suggestions for ways to go and places to go to have a great time and do wonderful things for not so much money. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. We'll be back after a short break with more from Pauline Frommer. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Later in the program, Stephen Leatherman, Dr. Beach, will help us sift through his nominations for best and worst beaches in the country. But joining us right now is Pauline Frommer. She's executive editor of Arthur Frommer's Budget Travel Online. We're talking about travel that doesn't break the budget. Is it possible to have a cheap vacation where you sleep in a clean bed but not a tent? If you've ever planned a cheap vacation, only to blow your budget? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And let's go to Barb, who joins us from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say hi to Pauline.
Hi.
This is Barb with Global Volunteers.
Oh, hi, Barb. How are you? Yeah, Global Volunteers is a wonderful volunteer vacation organization.
Yeah, I just wanted to put two cents in and say that volunteer vacations are tax deductible. So you do realize the savings, and it's a wonderful way to travel and experience another culture and lend a helping hand.
And how would one get in touch with these wonderful possibilities, Barb?
Well, we do have a toll-free number, and we also have a website, and we're called Global Volunteers. It's globalvolunteers.org or 800-487-1074.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your best vacation?
What's our best deal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got wonderful programs in the United States this summer, and those are very affordable, and we often have families participating on those.
On Indian reservations, if I'm not...
That's right, yeah.
Well, thanks very much for the suggestion, Barb. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a wonderful show.
Thank you.
There are actually a lot of wonderful volunteer vacation opportunities out there that can be real budget travel. For example, you can go to Spain for 2 weeks and pay nothing for your stay there if you volunteer with an organization called Vaughn Systems. You teach Spanish businessmen how to speak English. In the U.S., there's also the American Hiking Society, $80 for 2 weeks of helping clean the trails and build new trails within the national parks. So volunteer vacations is the best type of budget travel out there.
Joining us now to help us discuss some of the charming, sometimes funky, and always cheap places to stay while traveling is Andrew Wood. He's the author of Motel America, a state-by-state tour guide to nostalgic stopovers. He's also an assistant professor of communication studies at San Jose State University. He's with us by phone from his office in San Jose. Nice of you to join us.
Happy to be here, Neil. And by the way, I've been enjoying the conversation up till now. You're getting wonderful advice from Pauline.
Oh, great.
Thanks.
When you look for places to stay, a lot of people probably just heard of the closest Holiday Inn. You're looking for something a little different.
Yeah, I would look at Holiday Inn as sort of the Walmart of the highway, that it's big, it's clean, it's consistent, it's interchangeable with anyone that you'd go to. There's nothing wrong with Holiday Inn, but every once in a while, I would think that you'd want to go to a place where you actually know you've gone somewhere different. And so our focus is on the small mom-and-pop motels, the types that were built between the 1930s and the 1960s. Some of them are real gems.
If they were built that long ago, mom-and-pop have given away to grandson and granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually the plus, that in some cases we have multi-generational families that have committed themselves to a property and in some cases have already paid off the loan, and they're doing it simply because they love where they live, they love the people who come year after year after year, and, of course, meeting new people that, like one of your callers mentioned earlier, it's so hard to get off the interstate and see the real America, but once you do, there's a lot of really wonderful places to visit.
Well, tell us about a couple of your favorites.
Oh, goodness, just a couple. Well, I would start with probably the best motel in the United States. I imagine there may be some debate on this, but no less an authority than the Smithsonian Magazine noted that the Blue Swallow Motel in Tucumcari, New Mexico, is a simply wonderful place to visit. Briefly, this was run by a woman named Lillian Redmond, who's now passed on, and she looked at this motel as a chance to really maintain a kind of a ministry, emphasizing that we're all travelers through the eternities and that she kept her prices artificially low so that she could share her message. Now, Dave and Hilda Backe have sort of refurbished this place, and the prices have gone up just a little bit. But still, you got beautiful, clean rooms. You're in the heart of a wonderful Route 66 town, and you get to sit under the glow of a blue swallow as the cars go by. I can't think of much better than that.
You mentioned, of course, Route 66. A lot of these places seem to have pretty close connections to the roads they're on, the towns they're in.
And that's the thing of it, that having connections to the places where they are is the secret to a great motel or a great roadside attraction in general. You know, my wife, who's named Jenny Wood, who is a photographer, and she helped put in the images for this book, she and I both try to find places that remind us where we are. For instance, if you're going to travel the Southwest, why not sleep in a teepee? You can actually sleep in a wigwam village in Holbrook, Arizona, or even Rialto, California. And you just can't do that anywhere else. And, of course, the authenticity of the teepee is in question, naturally. It's a
no.
bit of a caricature. But it's still an experience you will never forget.
Is it difficult to don't you have to give up some amenities to get the charm?
Well, that's the thing. For instance, there's a Lincoln Motor Court up in Pennsylvania where they don't even have telephones, and they do that purposefully because, frankly, the amenities of which you speak, we can get those relatively easily. It's the sense of actually getting away that we're willing to pay dearly for, and yet you don't have to pay more than maybe $30, $40, sometimes far less, depending on the season. Even so, some of the really dedicated owners of these motels are bringing in, you know, fiber optic and wireless cable and wireless internet access. So you really never have to get too far away from quote-unquote civilization, even when you hit the road.
Yeah, if you're staying Sunday night, you don't have to miss The Sopranos.
Absolutely.
Let's get another caller on the line. Now, this is Tom, who's with us from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
So any adventures
wanted to call
on the road?
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I just wanted to share that I'm the marketing director for the Anchorage Bed and Breakfast Association, and I also own a B&B as well as a couple of tour companies. And we're having the best pre-booking season we've had in probably since 1989. It's incredible.
B&Bs are not quite the offbeat motels that Andy Wood is talking about. But Pauline Frommer, I wonder if Tom's experience isn't related to the idea that maybe a lot of Americans are staying home this travel season.
No, I think a lot more are traveling. I mean, the Travel Industry Association says it's only 3% more. I think it's closer, but from what I hear from everyone else, it's closer to 10 or 15% more.
I meant Americans staying home in America this summer.
Oh, but, staying home in America. Yeah. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people staying home, but actually foreign travel is up as well. And in defense of B&Bs, they can be as funky and as personal as the motels you were discussing.
Mm-hmm. Without question. I can certainly tell you that most of our members are quite unusual and offer some really great experiences in hospitality. And one of the things that's great about Anchorage and Alaska Bed and Breakfast is that contrary to normally what's thought is that we're over half the price of a traditional hotel room. For $90 to $100, you can get a great king-size bed and a private bath and a full bed, full breakfast and a wonderful accommodating host with high-speed internet and cable TV and wireless telephones and all that great stuff, plus some wonderful stories.
Tom, why do you think business is so good?
Well, I think the increase, you mean as far as the increase in travel is concerned?
No, the summer bookings you were talking about there.
Oh, well, I think people are getting away from the fear of 9/11. It's been over 2 years now. The airfares have stayed low. In fact, they've even dropped even more dramatically than last year. Alaska is a wonderful domestic, exotic location. It's a place that a lot of people always think about coming but figure it's too expensive. And this year, a family of four can fly up here for $1,200, and you've got Denali National Park and Talkeetna and the Yukon River and the wildlife and the wilderness, and it's just really a great experience. And, you know, you can cut your costs dramatically. In our industry, for example, and I represent over 60 different B&Bs just in Anchorage alone, over 80% of our guests are first-time visitors to bed and breakfast. And, you know, you get the traditional comment, this is, I'll never go back to a hotel again because I didn't believe this was so cool. And all of the tour companies are offering great prices, 15, 20, 30% discounts on glacier cruises and bus tours. And
actually, Valdez, Alaska, is giving away free salmons this summer to anyone who comes
to visit there
because the cruise ships, a lot of them have stopped going to Valdez, which has really hurt the local economy. So to try and pull people in from the road, they're giving each person who comes a free whole salmon.
And I think they have cleaned up from that unpleasant oil business a few years ago.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Tom, thanks very much.
You're most welcome.
Andy Wood, the motels that you're describing, are these are difficult to find sometimes.
You know,
Yeah, they can be. There are some resources. I would recommend one that's close to my heart, motelamericana.com. That's co-authored with myself and Jenny, and we have a state-by-state guide to the motels that we've found that really aren't as difficult to find if you're willing to do a little searching and get off of the interstate. You can also find any number of web pages or interest groups or listservs for some of the local communities or, you know, the main highways such as Route 66 or the Lincoln Highway, where they have experts who say, if you're going to be coming through Indiana, here's the place to stay. Yeah. If you're going to be coming through South Carolina, don't forget to go to south of the border, where every employee is nicknamed Pedro. And the point is that you can find these places if you're willing to go online and check out some of the local pages or, of course, just allow yourself the time to maybe explore the road and get lost because as you've lost yourself, you might find something you never anticipated.
Andrew Wood, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Andrew Wood, the author of Motel America, a state-by-state tour guide to nostalgic stopovers, also an assistant professor of communication studies at San Jose State University, and he joined us from his office there. Let's get another caller on the line. Mark is with us from Las Vegas.
How are you doing?
Okay.
I just had a couple quick notes to say. One is there's an amazing website that actually emails deals out every week that are kind of last-minute deals from a variety of airlines and travel services called TravelZoo.com.
You know, TravelZoo is all paid advertisements. So sometimes the deals can be great there, but they're not always the best.
Sure.
Because they're selling.
So a lot of the deals I've seen seem to be pretty good deals. So another excellent note that I'd like to make is my wife and me have gone a couple times to an amazing place just in Arizona, just outside the Grand Canyon. It's an Indian reservation called Havasupai.
Mm-hmm.
To sleep there, you pay the Indians a little reservation fee. It's like $8 to $10 a night. And it is one of the most gorgeous places on Earth. It would be a national park were it not an Indian reservation. It's about an hour outside of Kingston, and you hike in about a few miles, and then you're able to camp out in this oasis. And you're able to do the entire trip for $100, something like that, for a few nights, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Pauline, people don't often think of Indian reservations as places to stay.
No. Actually, this is the first time I've heard of it. It's not something that I've ever written about or researched. It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I hate to sound like a total cliche, but if you ever get a chance to go to the Grand Canyon, do it. It is just unbelievable. No picture ever does it justice. Thanks very much for the call.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye. Here's an email from Corey Bloomfield in Boulder, Colorado. One trick my partner and I discovered is traveling off-season. We live in Colorado and travel to ski resort cities, Vail, Aspen, Breckenridge, during the summer months. The hotel rooms offer incredible discounts during those times. There aren't many crowds, and getting into places becomes easier. I assume that's a pretty standard trick, Pauline.
Oh, absolutely. Always travel in the off-season if you can. For example, right now there's big fervor about going to New Zealand, but it's their winter right now. You can go down under and go skiing, and you'll pay half what you would pay in their summer months, i.e. November through the end of our spring. If you go down to Latin America, to Brazil and Argentina, where the dollar remains very strong, you'll encounter their winter, which means it'll be 70 degrees and quite pleasant, and you won't encounter any of the crowds you'd have later on in the year.
We're talking about cheap vacations with Pauline Frommer, the executive editor of Arthur Frommer's Budget Travel Online. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And joining us now is Chris Epting. He's the author of the recently released book, Marilyn Monroe Died Here, More Locations of America's Pop Culture Landmarks. It's a sequel to last year's James Dean Died Here. He joins us by phone from his office in Huntington Beach, California. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
How you doing?
So you say in your introduction that we often know the facts of a famous or infamous event, but not always the exact locations where they happen. Why do you think that's important to know that? And what does it add to your travel if you come across one of these places on the way?
Well, for me, it's always been something about standing where something happened. I've always been, very passionate and interested in going to these spots. Yeah, you might learn about something on the news or a famous historic event. And I'm not quite sure why. I mean, again, I think it has something to do with connecting to the event a little bit more. And once you go to a spot like where the Hindenburg crashed or something,
Lakehurst, New Jersey,
the event the same way again.
That's Lakehurst, New Jersey.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. The old naval base there.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of spots that you write about, everything from where Truman held up that famous newspaper headline, Dewey defeats Truman.
That's a great example.
Yeah. Where is that?
Well, we all know the picture where the train, you know, Truman was on a whistle stop tour back to D.C., after that election, and the train had stopped at the old St. Louis train station, which is now kind of a shopping mall. But the actual train where he stood, you can stand on that platform if you go down to Miami at the Gold Coast Railroad Museum, and the very train is there. And at the spot where Truman posed with the newspaper is a picture of him there posing with it. So that's a great example of, again, we all know the photo, but to stand right there, I think really gives you some insight into what it was like that day.
And you're not going to get, an entrance fee to find the place where Johnny Appleseed planted his first famous tree.
No, there's a great plaque in Pennsylvania dedicated to him. I try and keep things in the book that are kind of fun for historic travel, but also, you know, with the, you know, things where they are today, efficient from an economic standpoint, too. So a lot of the places, whether it's, you know, a fun one is the Tupelo Hardware Store in Tupelo, Mississippi, where Elvis's mom bought him his first guitar. You know, places like that you come upon that are free, and you go in, and really there's a great linkage there to pop culture history.
Based on your research, what of these kinds of spots do you think are the most popular?
What I find is that a lot of people love true crime. There's something about going to, like, where Bonnie and Clyde were ambushed in Gibson, Louisiana, or where, you know, Al Capone died. You know, these sort of mythical figures over time we get attached to. As well, a lot of TV and movie sites are popular. I mean, a lot of people will go to the Brady Bunch house or the Happy Days house or these sites, you know, the lake where the Andy Griffith Show was, the opening credits there where Andy and Opie walk, is in Beverly Hills, California. And people love, I think, to go back and reconnect with those places that are, you know, so ingrained in their minds and their consciousness.
Chris Hepting, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Chris Hepting, the author of Marilyn Monroe Died Here, More Locations of America's Pop Culture Landmarks. He was with us from his phone in Huntington Beach, California. Itself not such a bad place to go on a vacation. Let's see if we can squeeze in one last call. Shanda is with us from Minneapolis.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you that you can go to any college in the United States pretty much during the summer and stay for between $10 and $15 a night. You might have to put your own sheets on the bed, but it's a great deal and it's very secure, and I've really enjoyed doing it.
Pauline Frommer, is that a good idea?
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea. You can also do that in Europe. If you're going to the UK, go to venuemasters.com, and they will hook you up with the London School of Economics, and you can stay in the heart of London for maybe £30 a night. You can stay in York. You can go to Cambridge, and you can do this all across Europe and the U.S. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to travel.
Thanks for the suggestion, Shanda.
What I want to mention is that Rapid City, South Dakota, still has 5-cent coffee and buffalo burgers, and there's a campsite right outside of Mount Rushmore that you can stay about $15 a night that has its own movie theater and swimming pools, everything you can imagine. So it's really another bargain vacation. I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
And Pauline Frommer, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Pauline Frommer, executive editor of Arthur Frommer's Budget Travel Online. She joined us from our bureau in New York. When we come back from a short break, we're going to be talking with Dr. Beach and look at the top beaches in America. You have ideas about that? Our number is 800-989-8255. This is NPR News.